For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate and Taigen's teachings, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please click on the link for Just Give on our website.
So, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Tonight I'm very happy to have as our drama presenter, Mark Anderson, here from Minnesota. Mark, Callum, you can turn out the lights in the hall.
Turn out the lights in the hall.
Yeah. So, for our Dharma event tonight, Mark Anderson was a priest at, I knew him as a priest at Clouds and Water Zen Center in St. Paul some years ago. Mark is also a musician and works in the Twin Cities, leading various mindfulness events and teaching at McAllister College, and performs musically actually around the world, and has performed with Tibetan practitioners. And I'll let you take it away, Mark. Thank you very much for coming.
And I'll remind you of one thing. So I'm going to say something about the street retreat.
Yeah, I do announce this at the end, but I'll mention that now. So Mark also is going to be leading a street retreat in the Zen Peacemakers Order style in the Twin Cities in Minnesota, June 14th to 17th. And there'll be flyers about that, so if anyone's interested.
If you're interested, it'd be great. I'll send the information out to you. I won't be leading. I'm actually kind of hosting a guy named Genro from New York, who's led many, many street retreats all over the world, will be leading the event, but I'll be the coordinating person, so I'll be the contact guy.
So, we have this wonderful assemblage of
stuff.
stuff. So, take it away, Mark.
All right. I didn't come here with something to say. I came here because something must be said. One day, the Creator saw me alone, so alone. He made me sleep, made me dream beneath a stalk of corn. Upon waking in front of me, really beautiful, naked, made of clay and corn, with the scent of a mountain, was my poetry. Earth, people, and poetry are one and the same entity, tied together by mysterious subterranean passages. When the earth blooms, people breathe freedom, and poets sing and lead the way. Tagiri Roshi said, "You have to say something. You are all ready. We are all ready. Pebbles drop into the ocean. You are right. There are no mists or veils or distances. But the mist is surrounded by mist, and the veil is hidden by a veil, and the distance continually draws away from the distance. That's why there's no mists or veils or distances. That's why it's called the great distance of mists and veils. And it's here that the traveler becomes the wanderer. And it's the wanderer who becomes the one who is lost, and the one who is lost becomes the seeker. And the seeker becomes the passionate lover, the passionate lover becomes the beggar, and the beggar becomes the wretch, and the wretch becomes the one who must be sacrificed. And the one who must be sacrificed becomes the resurrected one. And the resurrected one is the one who transcends the great distance of mists and veils. Then, for 1,000 years, or for an afternoon, such a one spends in the blazing fire of changes, embodying the transformations, one after the other, then beginning again, then ending again, 86,000 times a second. Then, such a one is called Mark, and he's sitting in this room. Perhaps he's ready to love those sitting in the room with him. And if such a one is a person sitting in this room, perhaps they're ready to love the man who can put into song the great distance of mists and veils. I wonder, is it you who is waiting? Or is it me? Where touching one is all touching before names, activity is seamless and still. There possible worlds are born and die. The seer becomes the seen. A moment each, always, light and shadow as rhythm, pulse, everywhere intangible patterns mark the perceptibility of gods and mischief. Here a morning song lifts an early sun, light speed, gold-spun fire arrives continuously, to paint open time in all directions. The river valley, a west-leaning prairie, and all the shining eyes. Deleuze said, we are ontologically one, but formally different. Form is emptiness, emptiness is form. He called the pivot point the logic of turbulence. I slightly disagree, but I think we can all relate, right? We can feel the ontology of our oneness, and we can also see how different everybody is. Confusion. We try to make sense of the difference by pulling it into a story about our oneness. We co-opt teachings. We manipulate others. For a variety of reasons, I think we experiment with one place particularly, and that's love, or what we call love. Here's a story about Nusreddin. Nusreddin was a Sufi philosopher, 13th century, I think. Storyteller, but also the subject of a lot of stories. This is a story from when he was kind of young. The young dude, he was hanging around with one of his buddies, and his buddy said, hey, Nusreddin, are you ever going to get married? Nusreddin said, yeah, I'd love to get married, man. I'm looking for the perfect girl. I know just what I want. I know exactly the girl I want. In fact, you know, a couple years ago, once I realized, like, exactly the girl I want, I went out looking for her. So I traveled to one of the nearby villages, and I met a girl there. You know, I was looking for a girl that had a good family, she was smart, had spiritual depth, was worldly, and really beautiful. You know, the perfect girl. I know exactly the girl I want. So I traveled to the nearby village, and I met a girl. She was smart. Really smart, good family, really beautiful girl. Had some spiritual depth, but I got to know her a little bit, and then I realized she really hadn't traveled much. You know, she wasn't very worldly, so I was like, it wasn't quite right. And I knew what I was looking for. I knew the girl I was looking for, so I moved on. Went to the next village, and I met some people there, and I eventually met a girl there too. And this girl actually had traveled quite a bit. She was really worldly, and smart, good family, beautiful. But after we spent some time together, I realized we just didn't communicate well. Like something wasn't clicking. I don't know what it was, but we just weren't getting along. Just couldn't get along quite right. I knew she wasn't the right one either. So I moved on, met some more people, and you know, then I met a girl. And she was from a good family, really smart, worldly, spiritual depth. We communicated well, and she was beautiful. Perfect girl. And his friend interrupted and said, well, Nusruddin, why didn't you marry her? And Nusruddin said, well, the problem was she was looking for the perfect guy. The young composer was working in the artist village, the artist camp, for the summer. He'd been watching her for a week. She's a painter, Japanese, almost 60, and he thought he was in love with her. He loved her work, and her work was like the way she moved her body, the way she used her arms, and looked at him directly when she made considered and amused comments to his questions. One night they were walking home from a concert and walking back to her cabin, and she turned to him and said, you know, I think you'd like to have me, and I'd like that too, but there's something I must tell you. I've had a double mastectomy, and when he didn't understand, I've lost both my breasts. The radiance that he had carried around his rib cage and belly, like music, withered quickly. He had to make himself look at her when he said, I don't think I could. He walked back to his cabin through the pines. In the morning, he discovered a blue bowl on the porch outside of his front door. It looked to be filled with rose petals. What he discovered when he picked it up, poked at the rose petals, the rest of the bowl, she must have struck them from the corners of her studio, was filled with dead bees. If you don't know the kind of person I am, I don't know the kind of person you are. A pattern that others may prevail on the world. In following the wrong God home, we may miss our star. For there are many a small betrayal, a shrug that lets the fragile sequence break, letting out with shouts the horrible errors of childhood storming out to play through the broken dike. For as elephants pray, holding each elephant's tail, but if one should wander, the circus won't find the park. I call it cruel. Maybe the root of all cruelty, to know what occurs but not recognize the fact. So I appeal to a voice, something shadowy, a remote, important region in all who talk. Though we could fool each other, we should consider, lest the parade of our mutual lives gets lost in the dark. For it's important that awake people be awake, or a breaking line may discourage them back to sleep. The signals we give, yes, no, or maybe, should be clear. The darkness of ours is deep. One love, two truths, three treasures, four tasks, five heaps, six realms, seven factors, eight folds in the path, nine gates, 10 directions, 11 is the loneliest number, twice, 12 links in the chain. You gotta find the weak link. Weak link, or maybe the road to it is kindness, or maybe the result of breaking the chain is kindness. If you really want to know what kindness is, you must lose things. Feel the future dissolve in a moment like salt in a weakened broth. What you held in your hand, what you counted, carefully saved, all of that must go. So you know how desolate the landscape can be between regions of kindness. How you ride and ride, thinking the bus will never stop. The passengers eating maize and corn will stare out the windows forever. To learn the tender gravity of kindness, you must ride where the Indian in the white poncho lies dead by the side of the road, and you must see how that could be you. How he, too, was someone who traveled through the night with plans and the simple breath that kept him alive. Before you know kindness as the deepest thing, you must know sorrow as the other deepest thing. You must wake up with sorrow. You must speak until your voice catches the thread of all sorrows and you see the size of the cloth. Then it's only kindness that makes sense. Only kindness that will tie your shoes and send you out into the day to gaze at gravity. Only kindness that raises its head from the crowd of the world and says, "It's you I've been looking for." And then goes with you everywhere, like a shadow or a friend.
Thank you.
long, long time ago. In a part of the world, not unlike this one, although not urban. I'm a north country. There was a hunter and he lived alone in the forest. He had lived alone for a long time. One day he was coming back after a day of hunting and he cleared the forest and was walking across a field of snow leading to his small cabin, and he noticed that there was smoke curling out of the chimney. So he walked into the cabin and there was a fire in the hearth. And there was a freshly cooked meal on the table, and his threadbare clothes had been washed and folded. But nobody was in the cabin. So the next day he went out hunting in the morning, but he decided to double back early. And sure enough, as he cleared the forest and was walking across the field of snow, he could see that there was smoke curling out of the chimney, and he could smell food cooking. So he approached quietly, slowly. He opened the door, and the first thing that he saw on a hook right next to the door was a fox pelt. He stepped further in, and he saw that there was a woman standing by a pot of stew, putting fresh herbs in it. She had long red hair and green eyes, and she was beautiful. When she noticed him, she turned and said, "I'll be the woman of this house." Now he knew, like all hunters know, that she was the fox woman dreaming, and she had stepped straight out of the other world. But that day, the hunter's life changed. There was happiness in the house. There was somebody to share time with, to eat meals with. They laughed. Made a home together. When they made love in the small cabin, it was as if the walls of the cabin disappeared and they merged with the dark of the forest and the starlit night. Now, after some time, that fox pelt began to give off a scent, a pungent aroma. Now, you'd think that that wouldn't be too big a price to pay. But as time went on, the weeks, the months, the complaints grew in number. Until one night, they're sitting around the fire, the hunter was complaining. And the woman turned to him, fire glistening in her eyes. And she just nodded. And then in the morning, when the hunter woke up, the fox pelt, the scent, and the woman were gone. Now it's said that to this day, he longs for her. His heart is irreparably broken. In the winter, he looks out over the snowfield and longs for the fox woman. In the spring, when the shoots are coming up and the meadow is green, he longs for her. In the summer, when the sky is filled with birdsong, he longs for her. And in the fall, when the colors are bright in the trees and the leaves begin to fall, he longs for her. The scent of the pelt, the scent of the wild, is the price we pay for intimacy. Intimacy with our own nature. Our own true wild nature. And as long as it's in our home, there's no separation. But when it's gone, thank you. we humans. In one way or another, we're really pretty attracted to the idea that we're exceptional. We're tenacious. Trying to prove it to ourselves and prove it to others. So there's a Guatemalan shaman guy named Martin Bechtel. He speculates that we crossed the line originally when we first domesticated seeds. That's when that was kind of the opening of the door, when human viciousness unleashed itself on the world. Although he also speculated that our great ancestors recognized that they had kind of gone over a threshold, so they made a pact. And the pact was that they would do rituals and they would be grateful. And they would only take what they really needed. Slippery slope, right? So, what do we do? What do we do? Cows left the barn a while ago. So it's hard, right? It's hard to know. There was a student some time ago, and this student had a teacher, and his teacher's name was Yun Men. Student asked his teacher, "What are the teachings of a lifetime?" Translation, "What was the Buddha talking about?" Translation, "What the hell am I doing here?" But he had a kind teacher. Yun Men was a kind teacher. He didn't give him too much. He said, in response to the question, "What are the teachings of a lifetime?" He said, an appropriate response. Spike Lee said, "Do the right thing." Another monk altogether, Thelonious, said, "In jazz, there ain't no wrong notes. It's just that some are a lot more right than others." Dogen, when pushed, consented or agreed that it's true, there's actually no right or wrong. Just don't draw a circle and call it a square. So when somebody cuts you off on the freeway, that boy or that girl isn't the perfect one. You get sick. Whatever it is. How do you respond in a way that's right? The appropriate response. One thing we know, at least we've heard, is that it's gotta be authentic. It's gotta come from you. Otherwise, Taiken can tell us what to do. It'd be good. A couple Sunday mornings, we'd all be good, right? It's got to come from us. It's got to come from our heart. Turns out that it's not as easy as it sounds. Miles said you got to practice for a long time to sound like yourself.
Yeah.
keep my eye up. We want to end what time?
Another 5 minutes or so.
Another 5 minutes, okay. All right.
Yeah,
okay. I won't go too long. Maybe a little over 5 minutes. Well, one place to look for, one place to, teachers are everywhere, right? But some are easy to recognize than others, and we all have our affinities. Some kind of trustworthy ones. The trees are one of them. Fences have been tied to it, nails driven into it, hacks and whittles cut into it. The lightning has burned it. There is no year that it has flourished that has not harmed it. It has risen to a strange perfection in the warp and bending of its long growth. Over all its scars has come the seamless white of its bark. It bears the gnarls of its history peeled over. It has gathered all accidents into its purpose. It is the radiance and intention of its dark fate. It's a fact, sublime, mystical, and unassailable. In all the world, there is no other like it. I recognize in it a principle, an indwelling, the same as itself and greater that I would be ruled by. I see that it stands in its place, feeds upon it, and is fed upon it. His native and maker. In the place that is my own place, whose earth I am shaped in and must bear, there is an old tree growing. In a circle 1 meter large, you sit, pray, and sing. In a shelter 10 meters large, you sleep well. Rain sounds a lullaby. In a field 100 meters large, raise rice and goats. in a valley 1,000 meters large. Gather firewood, water, wild vegetables, and amanitas. In a forest 10 kilometers large, play with hawks, raccoons, poison snakes, and butterflies. Mountainous country Shinano, 100 kilometers large, where someone lives leisurely, they say. In a circle 1,000 kilometers large, in summer go see the southern coral reefs or the winter drifting ices in the Sea of Akash. In a circle 10,000 kilometers large, walking somewhere on Earth. Within a circle 100,000 kilometers large, swimming in the sea of shooting stars. In a circle 1,000,000 kilometers large, sitting upon the spaced out yellow mustard blossom. Moon in the east, sun in the west. Within a circle 10,000 light years large, the galaxy full blossoming in spring. Within a circle 1,000,000 light years large, Andromeda is melting away and snowing cherry flowers. Within a circle 100 billion light years large, all thoughts of time and space burnt away. There you sit, pray, and sing. You sit, pray, and sing.
Thank you so much for luminous stories and sounds and the earth and space.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me come. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, such a joy. Don't know that there's anything to say after that. If anyone would care to offer a word to Mark or a response, please. Michael.
The wooden instrument that kind of looks like a turtle, did you play it?
I didn't play it. I left a few things out because usually the thing goes a little longer. It's an udu. There are different shapes of udus. This is a particular. It does look like a turtle. Or Spaceship Enterprise. Could be either one.
I'm working on it.
Yes, well, we all continue.